natural.
What's something you've written and you've just gone, I can't know?
You can look at it and kind of try and learn from the things you've been through.
You write songs, right?
I've read that a few times too.
I know, we've sold that many records.
This week on Miff's Best Bits, you'll hear from Kev Carmody. He's just released an epic 4-disc album that serves as an autobiography as well as an evocative Australian soundscape. You'll also hear from Son Little about the making of his self-titled debut and how he honed that incredible voice of his. But first, Sarah Blasco is back with a joyous new record that plays like an oral love letter.
Yeah, I do think it is a joyous album for the most part. I think it just kind of happened naturally. I mean, at the beginning of writing the album, I kind of tried to write it in the same way that I wrote the last two records, which was just me sitting down at a piano in a room and going there every day and trying to do that. And it just didn't work at all. And I actually, kind of fell into a little bit of a depression. And then,
that's probably normal though, because having to face that, it would be like a big wall going, God, I have to.
Yeah, well, I was literally facing
this album. Yeah, exactly. It'd be awful.
Yeah, it was a bit hard. And so I just thought, well, I really need to shake it up. And I was, you know, I'd moved back to Australia and I thought, well, yeah, I should just be hanging around with friends of mine. And there's so many people that I haven't written with that I've played music with for a long time. And so, yeah, I called up my friend Ben and Ben Fletcher and David Hunt and said, what do you think about trying to write together? And they were really into it. And so we just went away on a holiday.
Oh, nice.
And we're literally just like drinking and eating together and dancing around in a lounge room. And that's sort of how, you know, quite a large chunk of the songs were written to start with. And then, yeah, took it from there really. So
when did the synths come in?
Oh, that was like one of the, you know, initial sort of sounds, because I just bought this keyboard, this Prophet keyboard, just started writing everything on that keyboard. And so that's sort of, yeah, how it came about. But I mean, I did want it to be, I didn't want to make another kind of string-based album. And I just loved the sound of this keyboard. And yeah, it's sort of like an analog keyboard like that is sort of like plugging a guitar into an amp. Like there's so much strength and depth to the sound, and so it was just a lot of fun, really. Yeah, it was really enjoyable.
And how much of that song got written when you went away on? Sorry, how much of the album got written when you went away on?
Yeah,
on the weekend away.
Was it was most 5 days. It was a Monday to Friday. Actually,
oh, okay,
work days.
Yes, like we went away to work. Yeah, it was. It was like a bit of a job. But yeah, we went away for 5 days for the initial. I think I'd only written like maybe 2 songs before that, and then we went away, and I think we wrote like, when I look at the list of the songs on the album now, I guess we wrote half of the album during that trip. And then I did another one with another friend of mine, Nick Wales, and then we wrote another 2 of the songs that are on the album.
And I thinking about lyrically, there's a, like I said, there's a lot of joy on the album. Were there life changes that fed into that for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, the album is mostly about falling in love, you know, and that's where I was at the time, and that was consuming my thoughts, and I was just like totally in that state of
such a good place to be.
Yeah,
it's like the best feeling, and then you get used to that, and that kind of goes away. But
you know. I've always got some proof, like some a physical copy of that situation.
You do. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
and what a wonderful thing to capture.
Yeah, it felt. I mean, it just felt effortless in that sense. Like not that making the album felt effortless, because I don't think making an album feels effortless, but that sort of initial spark of the record and, you know, what to write about was just like, you know, a no-brainer. It was just like, that's just where I was at.
There are some more serious songs on the album. I really liked I Want to Be Your Man.
Yeah.
It brings up some issues that I'd love you to kind of explore with me now.
Sure.
What was the inspiration behind that?
Part of it was, I didn't actually finish the lyrics until like right up until the end of making the album, actually. So in Yeah, it really was just this feeling that I have often had over the years of that sort of loneliness sometimes of being a woman surrounded by men. It's as simple as that, really. You know,
it's the music industry, isn't it, really?
I guess so, yeah. And, you know, I do find myself surrounded by a lot of guys. And, you know, and I don't have a problem with men.
No, not at all.
I love men and I love working with men. Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes there just is that loneliness and that difference of communication style and things like that. That sometimes, yeah, it's just like you feel like you're not quite being understood or something. And I sort of managed to articulate it in a song this time. And I mean, yeah, it sort of surprises me that I wrote a song like this, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Well, do you feel like then you pushed yourself quite a bit with this record?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of it was about trying to hone the songs in as much as I could. Like, it was about, there was a lot of discipline involved in terms of really wanting each of the songs to have really strong, succinct pop structures. And so that in itself, like, required a lot of work, you know? Like, but it was enjoyable because it was like, nah, let's just cut this and don't go on here and make, you know, so it was all about, yeah, really trying to make sure that any choice that I made I had to really have its place, kind of thing. And I think working with Burke Reed was really an important part of that. Like, I wanted to be directed by somebody, you know, like, I didn't want to produce it myself. I wanted somebody to really hold me accountable to what I said that I wanted, which was, you know, this a tight pop record.
We're Angus and Julia Stone.
Nina Cherry, it's an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio.
Explore.
Very much about being in the right time and the right place.
My name is Dan Sultan.
Johanna and Clara from First Aid Kid.
My name is Henry Rollins.
I think anyone that writes will tell you they would love to have an assignment. What is this about?
It's just as interesting to me to try and write a good pop song.
Music.
St. Vincent.
Hi, it's Paul Kelly here.
My name's Gareth Lydiard.
The interesting thing about inspiration is it doesn't always actually yield anything. I think it's over-glorified a little bit.
Oh, gosh, girl.
Double J.
He is called Aaron Livingston by birth, but Sun Little is what he records under. He's just released his debut record, and it's an album that borrows from great American music, lots of different diverse styles of music. And I spoke to him about that voice, the voice that captured me the very first time, and when he realised what an incredible instrument it really was.
Well, you know, I kind of had to be pushed. I never much cared for the sound of my voice. I suppose it sounds different to me. People were asking me to sing all the time, and I guess that was enough. It seemed to make other people happy, so, you know, I kind of found it through that.
So when you put this album together, you did it all predominantly on your own. How did that work? Was that a good experience or a lonely experience or a learning experience?
It was all those things. I think sometimes solitude works very well for creativity. In the process, I think I've learned a lot more about sound, you know, which is very fascinating. But I think it's an ongoing process, you know. I'm very eager to repeat.
Sounds like you're ready to write more songs already.
Yeah, absolutely.
People are finding your music quite difficult to categorize, which I like. I like that fact. Do you think we should stop trying to categorize music, given we are all a product of our influences? And these days, our influences are so wide and varied.
Well, I think that we'll always try to categorize music and probably everything else. That's kind of the way people think, and that's how we communicate certain things. But I don't think that the categorization of music or art should get in the way of people's enjoyment of it. And sometimes I think that has a tendency to happen. If you like something, it doesn't really matter what it's called. I guess what's important to me is if some people are enjoying it, whatever it means to them.
Yeah. You know? When you went in to record this album, what was your dream in terms of what you wanted to create? What do you think you've ended up with?
I think a whole bunch of different states of mind. I think people are diverse within themselves, you know, depending on a time or place, or, you know, we have a lot of different things inside us to express. We're all sort of complex in that way. I just hope it just shows one particular complex person.
Is there a moment on the record, not a favorite song, but maybe a moment where you've made sounds or you've sang a line that made you feel really proud of what you're doing? Do you have a particular moment that stands out for you?
I guess one thing is sort of a theme, I think, as I listen back to it is, and I had a discussion with someone yesterday about drums and how much you can say with drums. You know, I think somewhere in there I became really maybe infatuated or obsessed with drums, any drum that besides the kick drum and the snare drum. And I've never been a big fan of cymbals, and I found myself going back over and over to the timpani sound, sort of a instrument that you don't necessarily find in rock or R&B most of the time.
Mm.
I think it's probably an example of something. I first did it, I really questioned whether it made sense. But you hear them a lot in Nice Dreams, and they're in a bunch of the other songs as well that maybe not in such a obvious way, but I'm always happy when I listen to Nice Dreams.
And just finally, where did you learn all these instruments? How did you get to be so damn talented?
I would say I've been playing guitar for a good while, you know, and I had a good background in music before I started playing the guitar. And guitar kind of just, you know, leads you to a room with a guitar and an amp and a bass, some drums, and maybe a piano or a synthesizer. And I think in downtime, I would pick something else up. And a lot of times, my friends growing up, we would just, you know, who wants to play drums now? You know? And we would sort of go around the room. And actually, I've found a lot of musicians and different groups of people I've played with over the years, I find that's actually really common, you know, that people want to try different things and express themselves on different instruments. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for me, it's, you know, I've never been particularly a virtuoso on any instrument. I think kind of what has worked well for me is just being able to find a style of play that I enjoy, that sounds good to me within my capabilities, you know, which I think no matter what, that's all you can do.
That's true. It's a beautiful sounding record, and I was wondering, would you do it again in the same way? Would you produce everything yourself? Would you play everything yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to restrict myself to that, but I certainly enjoyed it, and I enjoy sort of fitting the pieces together of a song, you know, like a sort of like a puzzle. I enjoy that, but I've enjoyed that in the past, working with other people. I wouldn't want to rule that out.
Lay down and drift a moment. Let's not waste any more of our precious time. Baby, won't you lay down? Let's watch this water boil. Said, baby, won't you lay down and watch this water boil? Let the others run around just this once. Let your hair down and pull the curtain. Let me see you.
Me
Miff's Best Bits on Double J.
Kev Carmody, of course. And great news for Kev fans. He's just released a 4-CD set. It's a collection of stories that have been written and collected over 40 years. Some of them were hidden in a box somewhere in the shed that he's managed to dig out and put together. And it's his first new release in over 12 years and appropriately titled Recollections, Reflections. And to coincide with that release, there's been a documentary that's made. It recently screened in Adelaide, and it'll also screen on ABC TV next year. And I've managed to see it, so I think you should watch out for that. It's rather beautiful. And you can see how Kev worked on the album and brought all the material together. He did it in his shed as well. So there's some pretty extraordinary sounds on it as well from life, things like drums and petrol bowsers and dogs and kids. It's really quite extraordinary. The album is huge though, 4 CDs, as I said. So when I caught up with Kev recently, it was so nice to be in a room with Kev Carmody, can I say? He's got such a lovely, lovely warmth and presence. You feel, I don't know, it feels a bit special to sit in a room with Kev Carmody. And I talked to him in depth about how he managed to collate all of these songs and how he put the albums together.
The songs actually chronologically sort of start, first one's in 1967 and it comes through to 2014. So there's a heck of a spread of musical genres, you know, from the old country and western hillbilly jang-jang through to, I don't know what you'd call it, but that's why we did the doco, the making of, because we recorded basically all our own sounds. And I said to Andy, our sound engineer, who's got the little studio in this huge old disused fruit packing shed, no drum kit, no bass guitar. That's the premise we start on. Let's keep it acoustic, do everything one take. But in the shed, Marv, with this huge heap of junk, I'm telling you, we had 200-litre steel drums, you know, 13-litre steel drums, chainsaws. We recorded all the natural sounds that we could, you know, even Andy's Siberian husky dog howling. Birds, anything, you know, even a bicycle pump, and use that as our basis for it. And then sort of, I mean, there's such a spread of genres on it. I don't know. It's like just a huge big, I don't know, fried rice with everything just thrown in.
I love that though, Kev. That's fantastic. That's a great expression for it. I know you were getting a lot of pressure from Paul Kelly to get a whole bunch of songs, because you told him that there was a whole bunch of songs hidden in a box somewhere.
He knew, that's right. Yeah, and like every time he'd come up and stay, he'd just always mention it, you know, always mention it. And then the family said, well, you better do something if you're not going to write a book. You better, you know, have a go at it. So I did. And I mean, some of the things musically were stuff when I was teaching myself to play the guitar, to use the four fingers on the right hand. And I just made little exercises up for myself so I could work the fingers in different patterns. And something like Wizard of the Wind, this song that you'll hear on there, which features Monty's howling voice, the old Siberian husky, they were just sort of guitar pieces and that I put words to. And, you know, I was in England and I was walking past this, in the moonlight actually, walking past this little country church on a hill with an old beat-up castle near it with the graveyard. So I just put words to it then and called it Wizard of the Wind. But it's actually, you know, guitar pieces I've had for 30 or 40 years.
Yeah. Well, in a way, it's kind of an very experimental album, if that's the case, all these sort of sounds and... And, you know, the way you've approached it, you know, found songs from a box from years ago. And, like, it's actually really an intensely creative bunch of albums.
And as I said to Andy, I want to do everything one take. I just want to walk in, put those cans on the earphones, and I want to do it one take, improvise to what or counterpoint to what I can hear. And that's the way we did it, so that you capture that on the moment. All the buzzes and clicks, I wanted it to sound, as I said to Andy, like an empty B-double cattle truck that's travelling from Birdsville to Bamiga or Alice Springs to Halls Creek across to Tanami. Have all the clicks and bangs in it. Because if you listen to the old, you know, early African-American recordings in America, phenomenal stuff.
Yeah.
You listen to Billie Holiday and that. They did it with one mic.
You can hear the life in it, can't you?
That's right. The spirit comes through.
I watch the moonlight flood across them sleepy hills and valleys, heard the sadness in a requiem. I've been moved, watching nature slowly turning through
through the seasons and the patterns that she brings. And as the morning star proceeds in the breaking of a new day, find the black crow is already on the wing. I've been moved watching something that's been suffering, be it humankind or any living thing.
Catch up with Miff Warhurst for lunch. Weekdays from 11 on Double J.